So I found out that I'm not allowed to tell students that I'm gay because it could be seen as supporting a single political party and it could be seen as a political issue. So if anybody asks, I just really like rainbows. Like, I just really like rainbows. Like, I really like rainbows. No politics in Miss Leia's classroom. She just really likes rainbows. Rainbow duct tape? That's just because I really like rainbows. Rainbows aren't political. Not at all. Rainbows are just colorful and fun. It's not a political thing at all. It's just that I really like rainbows. What, this? This isn't political. This is just that I really like rainbows.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish. Good evening. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host, and on today's show, of course, joining me is always our co-host, our fabulous co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
It is truly an entire episode of The Dish. We have no guests today, so we have plenty of time to really dive into different stories and things and weekends and all of that good stuff that we always do. So I'm going to, of course, start off with our weeks. How everything's been, what we have been doing, and all of that good stuff that we normally do on the show during the first half. You get that for the entire show.
Sorry, guys.
Seriously. Delightful. So why don't we toss it over to Trish, all right? Because you had a very interesting weekend. Well, interesting in the sense that, you know, it was busy. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how your week has been and what you did this weekend?
Well, I'm unemployed, so my week was... My week. That being said, I did have a couple meetings this week.
That's right.
Because I'm helping a couple different people do some projects, which was great. It was good to see some people. Yeah. Oh, and I went away this weekend.
That's right. No, but you had a very important... Not only did you go away this weekend, but
like,
you...
What am I missing?
So, like, I'm supposed to, like, literally, like, do the rundown of her weekend.
Well, I mean, you know it.
Well, true. That's because we talk all the time. But so you, not only did you go away, as you have for the past couple of weekends, because you know what? We're still in the middle of this pandemic, and you just literally have to sort of kind of get away and visit those safe spaces that make you feel good, where you know that not only are you doing what you're supposed to be doing, but everyone else that you're visiting or enjoying also are practicing, you know, social distancing and doing all the right things. And so you went away, but not only did you go away, but you had a very important meeting today, Sunday as well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your very first board meeting for the Pride Center?
Well, I can't really talk about
it. I don't want you to tell me the details about it, but tell me how that was like. What was that feeling like, right? It's your very first one.
I was nervous, honestly, because I didn't, like, I've been in board meetings before, but I've never been a board member. But it was good. And I ended up actually providing a lot of, you know, important information to the group, which I was surprised about because I thought I was going to sit there and listen the entire time just to take in everything and like all the information I need and everything. And there's a lot of stuff going on that I have a skill set with. And so I ended up speaking a lot and it was nice. And I felt a lot of, support from everybody in the group. I think it's a great group of people. I'm excited about it. So yeah, I mean, it was kind of cool, but I mean, that being said, and I don't know if I should say this on air, but
she's gonna,
I was away and I was visiting my good friend's sister. And we ended up staying up far too late, playing Yahtzee, and of course having cocktails, and I had to get up the next morning and get ready for this, you know, board meeting, and I looked at my friend's sister, and I was like, do I look okay? She's like, Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, go get him, Tiger.
You look fine. Mind you, she's got Gucci, Prada on both sides of her face.
My eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but honestly, at the end of the day, like, it was a really good time, good experience. But I'm telling you, 11 a.m. on a Sunday.
That's rough.
2 hours.
Like, can you let a girl at least have a mimosa? Like get
just
up.
Just to take the edge off.
Yeah, just to sort of kind of take the shakes off. Just a little bit.
Well, no, but it was, you know, funny because I was like super nervous. And the first like 3 minutes, Patrick, who's the executive director, was like, all right, well, I'm going to give the floor to Nick and this other person to introduce themselves. You have about a minute to talk. I'm like,
how much can I say in 1 minute while I'm still shaking and I haven't even had a mimosa yet? Go.
No, I had a coffee, but...
Well, I'm proud of you. No, you know what would be fun? And I don't know if Patrick would be game for this, but I'm going to give it about 2 months and then we're going to have Patrick Dunn come on the show and really talk about the experience of working with Trish.
Well, I mean, we've worked together before.
Oh, I know. But, like, really work with you, right? And so it'd be interesting to see what that conversation is like.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want you to be very honest with me. Tell it all and tell it true. I sound like a character from Game of Thrones.
I mean, I am a lot, but I think he's really excited about... I think he's really excited about everything I'm bringing to the table.
Absolutely.
I mean, when I had... So I had one meeting this week for another organization that I'm helping out. I need to start charging for this shit. But
seriously,
so it was a lunch meeting with the director of marketing for an accounting firm in New Haven.
Right.
And I wouldn't say, I mean, like, he's a colleague. We're friends, but he's a colleague, right? So we go on lunch meeting. By the end of the lunch meeting, we're talking about the Pride Center. And it had nothing to do with the Pride Center. But now that organization is really interested in supporting financially the Pride Center.
Which is important.
And that's part of what I'm doing on the board. I'm bringing my contacts in and trying to help support them. So I felt good to have a meeting where literally I brought up the Pride Center and then I'm on the board. And he lit up. Like, his organization is very much LGBTQ+ supportive, and I'm really excited to see if they come in and help us with our upcoming capital campaign, which we'll talk about at a later date.
I mean, networking is everything, and if you think about it, I mean, you were at the right place at the right time. Perhaps, you know, this person may have wanted to support the Pride Center, but didn't have that bridge to cross in there, and you could have been that bridge for it. So it's another big thing that you're bringing to the Pride Center.
Yeah.
And when you think about the importance of how the Pride Center plays a very pivotal role in our community, we start talking about programs, for example, that recently were just finished, but started in the Pride Center, feeding the community, right? There was a food drive that happened in the Pride Center and where people were donating food, and they provided food for hundreds of families all over the New Haven area. And, you know, when you think about thinking outside of the box amidst COVID, right? How COVID has impacted people not being able to work. If you are, for example, an undocumented person, you can't reap the benefits of having, for example, a stimulus sent to you. How do you get by if your job is not there, right? And when you think about how pivotal and how important that is for members of the community who happen to also be undocumented folks that can't access a lot of the other helps that are available to people who may be documented and can apply for those services, they still have to eat and they still have to feed their families.
Well, and also too, if you lose your job, you're only making a portion of what you made. And for a while, people weren't getting the additional money. And so that really affected families with kids.
Right.
That was the...
And that is huge. It's a huge impact. And so the fact that they were collecting food and hand delivering them, obviously social distancing and making sure that it was safe, and bringing people food when they need it is huge. And it just goes to show you the diversity that exists within the programs that are being created in this Pride Center. And I hope...
During COVID,
especially
with the holidays approaching too,
right? And you know what? And if they do a holiday drive to provide people, because here's the thing, Right. So we have a lot of different countries
tally
that did
it up. Oh my God.
I already thought about it immediately. I still do every time.
You should have said it.
It's always in my head. I hear it every time.
Oh, boys, we're going back to the old times. I love it. Oh, where's my hand sanitizer?
Right? Nasty. Y'all nasty bitches.
No, but so here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you, baby. So we have other countries like Canada, for example, that agreed to provide their citizens a stimulus every month while COVID was happening. And here we are. We literally got $1,300. Well, some did. Some got less. Some
$1,200
didn't get anything.
$1,200.
Some didn't get none at all once. And there are people that are still unemployed that can't pay rent with $1,200.
Mm-hmm. And right? A lot of the programs that are having rent or mortgage forgiveness have either expired or are soon due to expire.
Right. And what do you do?
It's also a scary fact thinking about, you know, come again in February, it's tax season again.
That's right.
They're going to want some of that money back.
Well, I mean, you're paying taxes on it already, so you're not going to have to pay it back.
If the Republicans were to unveil a second stimulus package, that would have been something I would have been worried about because the first one was tax-free. But if they were to put out another one, they were going to make sure you held on to your receipt. So they could be talking to you again in February or January.
Of course, you know,
absolutely.
I'm sorry, I lost my receipt. Seriously, no, but aside from that, you know, you also have to think about all the individuals that happen to be forced to quarantine themselves in homes and where they weren't being supported as members of the LGBTQ community, and that also presents a challenge because the programs that are being offered by Pride centers all over the U.S. are those that allow those individuals to find themselves in very, very peculiar situations.
Provide a safe space.
Right. Mm-hmm. Here's a safe space. You can come here, wear your mask. We will do what we can. Or you can call us. We'll have a conversation. We'll talk.
Yeah. I mean, the Pride Center runs a bunch of programs for people. And there are a couple programs that want to start meeting in person again. And that was a huge conversation that we had to have on Sunday because, well, one, the Pride Center is in a basement and the air flow is not perfect.
Right.
We also have to abide by the CDC. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, some of these groups are bigger than that. And who's going to, you know, be there on a Saturday, for example, to say, no, the 11th person can't come in the 15th, those four people have to go away. Like it's difficult. So, they are very much pivoting to a virtual world like everyone is. But then you have like things like, you know, the Dorothy Awards. How are we going to pivot and make that a virtual event as well?
Right.
Because we don't know what's going to be going on in March.
Of course.
Right. Do we change the date? Do we, you know, find a way to do it virtually? But it's crazy. I mean, there's a lot to think about. And
absolutely. And it even goes, I mean, I'm very glad that you brought up the Dorothy Awards, but when you think of something on a more day-to-day basis, if you look at these support groups that have moved to a virtual environment, some people are in low income areas to where they can't afford to have high speed internet. It's the same thing that people are running into when it comes to schooling. Mm-hmm. Some of these students who are still either studying semi-remotely or completely remotely, they can't get online. Then you add to the fact that these people are being quarantined in a home that they don't feel comfortable in, they don't feel accepted in. How are they going to be able to access the internet to be able to get to these virtual support groups? And if you have the means, it's so important to reach out to these agencies and these Pride centers because money, when it comes to youth homelessness right now, when people are being for so long forced to stay inside and they're not comfortable there, these agencies are going to have to expand, you know, whether it comes to tented situations for where they can have some of these meetings. Like you were saying, if that 11th person shows up, they can't have them inside. So they have to expand to a tented area outside, or if they need to expand some of the lodging arrangements that they have, like with organizations such as Yasu, as we've had on the show in the past. It's so important if you have the means to reach out to these agencies.
100%. You're right. And I also think that another thing that is important to note that if you are having a hard time, you don't have a computer, you don't have a way to access the internet, you don't have internet at your home. If you are, you know, a part of a support group or in, you know, at a Pride Center or, you know, whatever it is.
Any center that's providing pivotal services to communities.
Mm-hmm. Reach out to the person who is the, you know, who's running your group, because most centers like the Pride Center have contacts that can reach out to people that have received grants to provide you with some money to help with internet, mm-hmm. internet or a service to help with
internet. Or hotspots, public hotspots.
Also, there is an amazing company, and I can't remember the name off the top of my head, located in New Haven that provided, I don't even know how many computers to kids who didn't have them when COVID first happened so they could get on remotely. Mm-hmm. Like, there are services, there are organizations out there, and there are grants out there that are helping people that can't afford to do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. And Gateway right. Community College is pivotal when it comes to that. They were above and beyond when it came to offering either very low expenses or free laptops for people who did need that to access pretty much everyday life mm-hmm. or have some sense of sanctuary yeah. or continue their education as yeah. well.
A lot of schools right now are actually giving out laptops, and they don't want people, if they have a personal one, they don't want them to be using it because it's not secure.
Right.
So right. so they're giving out specific laptops for remote learning.
Mm-hmm. Which allows them to connect securely within the bounds of what the school deems that's safe mm-hmm. And also get their work done. It's all I have to say is, given what I've seen in the Pride Center, I'm very proud of the work that they're doing. Yeah, they're doing 100%. Phenomenal work, and I'm super excited that you are part of that particular organization.
Me and Tom.
And not only that, it's like, I think that given the experience that you've had with your production of an online version of a gala, I think that there is no doubt in my mind yeah. that collectively, all of you are going to put out an amazing Dorothy Awards if it goes virtual.
Yeah, no, 100%. I am so excited about it. I'm so excited to be working with the people that I'm working with. It's going to be another job.
Yeah,
it's going to be great. And you know, I never take anything lightly, so it's going to be like another
money. She's neurotic, so she's going to make sure that it's perfect. Yeah. So, that's pretty much it.
I mean, I'm not going to put my name on it if it isn't.
Well, hello. I wouldn't either. So, Christopher, my dear, that was an amazing conversation, by the way. And
I forgot we were still actually talking about Trish.
Big up to the Pride Center, because you guys are doing amazing work, and you've got an asset sitting right here in this chair. Christopher, how are you, my dear?
No, I'm doing good. Just happy to be back with you guys.
Yeah, you see that. You're healthy. Sitting in the chair, healthy.
Healthy.
You've got some news. Anything you want to share with us that we could talk about publicly?
I mean, yeah.
I mean we've talked about
pretty much, you know, everything about my body before. Pretty sure I had a somber episode with like solo piano in the background.
Solely about my funeral.
Right. We talked about Lord Voldemort. We did.
No, yeah. I mean, I just been dealing with some health issues, but things are looking good. I got spit roasted a week ago, which is why I was not here.
You had a colonoscopy.
And endoscopy. So spit roasted like a pig. They went yeah. in both ways. Not well, like a did. Pig, but like a pig roast. Well,
yeah, they went in through the mouth and through the ass.
Yes, exactly.
So, it's not like you haven't been there before.
So right. I don't have Crohn's disease on that, no.
Yay!
So yeah. Can I read a little bit of that text message?
Oh, come boy. On.
Let me, please.
No. Again, what?
Please.
What?
So this bitch texts me, so, oh my God, we don't have Crohn's. I don't have Crohn's. Yay! And then she follows it up with, I can drink.
Wait, I believe it's I can drink and smoke.
I can drink and smoke. And I'm like, really, out of all the
but
things.
But you guys got my first selfie when I first woke up. I sent it to you right away.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
I sent that
selfie right away.
I didn't.
That's literally the first thing I did. I woke up, I was like, oh, wow, I feel great right now. And then I was like, I need to send this guy a photo. So I sent y'all all anesthesia.
Did you order
off
that?
My ass.
Oh, no, I'm like, this bitch, she could have potentially had half of her fucking intestines removed, and all she's worried about is being able to have a cocktail and smoke.
Actually, yeah, the first thing I did when Mama picked me up was I was like, throat's a little tender, but I'm going to have a cigarillo and some Shiraz.
Oh, my God. I know I've told this story on the show before, but that one time I had to get it wasn't a colonoscopy because it was only, I stayed awake for it. So it was, they only.
Like a rectal examination?
No, they had like a camera and they put it in. but like it didn't go all the way
into your bowel,
into my like.
So yeah. Like endoscopy.
Endoscopy is when they go down your throat. They did that to me too.
It was something.
Endoscopy.
Like, I don't know.
Is that the ass version of it?
All I remember is laying there, and she's like, "All right, we're gonna go in. This is the hard part." She's like,
"No, it's not. She's a bottom."
She puts it in, and she's like, "Usually, this is the hard part." Like, and I was like, "Oh no, it's fine."
Yeah, be like, "I know it's fine, but could I have my watch back, please?"
Yeah. Did you find anything up there? It belongs to somebody else.
Give it back. Find a couple of her exes in there.
Carton of Parliament, some Ray-Bans. Like, anyway. You know, everything.
Don't worry. If I find anything, it's not going back to any ex.
But anyway, I'm happy. Yeah. It's actually fantastic news that you don't have Crohn's because it's very serious. Right.
It did look like it, but it just turned out to be related to the celiac disease. But I can deal with that.
It's celiac, so you can find beers and stuff that you can drink that are...
I just want to find bread that doesn't suck. I'm fine with giving up the beer, right? I really am. But I admit
there's a lot of...
talk to my sister. She's gluten-free.
Yeah, there's a lot of beer that's gluten-free.
Yes, there is. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So overall, how are you doing? Aside from your whole medical scare and life and half of your
I'm still kicking. Y'all can't get rid of me that easily.
Although I would have said that, you know, actually, let me not say this. I'll say it off air.
Yeah, because my answer is back off.
Yeah.
Did no one notice my shirt?
Show the camera. Wait, hold on. We can read it from there. Stand right there. It says back off.
Back off.
I get it.
I cannot wear her.
That's so great.
So, I'll say it afterwards.
I want to say one more thing.
Of course you do.
obviously, because... but there have been a lot of virtual events for the Pride Center, too. Mm-hmm. And
amazing.
We want to put those out as a podcast. So maybe donating our time, Tom.
I've always said, you know, okay. Trish and I had this conversation, and I said, you know, I'm a member of the Pride Center. I support the Pride Center monetarily. But I've been thinking about other ways of being able to do more, right? And donate time into creating a virtual avenue for them to communicate and have a space for people to come and talk and do things. And so we have discussed in the past the possibility of bringing some remote equipment that I have available and setting up in the Pride Center and having people create content, right? And that's always been in the back of my mind. It hasn't really come to fruition because when we were talking about it, COVID didn't exist, and then COVID happened. And so we have to think about the logistics of having people in the same space recording a show like that, right? And so, but yeah, that's always a possibility. Patrick knows he has 100% my support in anything he does in that center because it helps our community. And especially now since our bitch, Supreme, is sitting on the board. Hello.
Well, also Patrick is pretty amazing.
So. Yeah, he is. Facts. He is. Facts. True. Hashtag facts. So anyway, back to you.
Your butthole.
And your butthole.
Not done there.
So how's school going?
Well, I'm not in school right now.
I know, but right. You know, you've got a lot of prospects. I try to probe this bitch on most of the conversations we have offline, hoping that she would generously share. But,
well, I mean, it's still things in the works, so I don't want to, you know, jump the gun, but it looks like I might be getting accepted to two private colleges up in Massachusetts, but I'm also in the process of applying to multiple schools down here in Southern Connecticut. That's so amazing. It's still a possibility that I may come back down to the area.
That's amazing.
Possibility. So we will put a pin in that and talk about that now.
Okay, Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, let's talk about your weekend.
Let's stick a pin.
Because...
So my weekend was uneventful, aside from the fact that I had one of the most precious princesses ever to exist on this planet stay with me all weekend. So Nick went away, and his roommate went away, and they share custody of this amazing, beautiful princess that we call Raleigh, and
I call her Pooper most of the time.
Well, Pooper, yeah, but I did too most of the weekend. I was like, Pooper, get back over here.
She listens, right?
Yeah,
Raleigh does. And Pooper.
So Raleigh's a rescue, and she comes from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yep,
and that's the reason why they call her Raleigh. But she is so I'm not sure if we're sure what she is, but I know that she's like
she's got a pit in there, right?
She's a pit Basenji Australian cattle mix.
So
super busy.
I have I have two psycho Yorkies because they are psycho. They're my loves, and I love them dearly, and I will deal with their psychoness until they are no longer with me. They're my babies, but they're psycho. And they really react to a lot of dogs in different ways. And with Raleigh, she has such a very amazing demeanor about
her. Let's call it regal.
She's very regal. And she walks in, and my dog's completely like, they don't bark. And I'm like, I find that very weird because they react very, very strong to other dogs. But for her, she just walks in. She goes like, I have nothing to do with moi. So I'm just going to come over here. I'm going to plop myself down right here. And I'm just going to look over the little prairie that this bitch has back here. And I'm just going to just do me. And she does. And she came in. She's such a sweetheart. And I spent most of the weekends with my babies. And I let them out in the yard. And they did whatever they needed to do. And
it was so weird for me. Because like technically Pat is dad.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm like the adoptive parent that takes care of the dog when Pat has to work or whatever. But she is like my baby. But we have never left her with anyone but his mother. But she couldn't take Raleigh.
Right.
So dropping her off and leaving her, I was like, it was fine. Like I left and then I got in my car. I was like, this is so weird. It was so weird. And Pat was like, it is a little weird. But she was great. But
Raleigh's great. Yeah. Love Raleigh.
I have a fenced-in backyard, and I literally would dug in chicken wire, because like I said, I have psycho Yorkies. They see dogs. They don't care what it is. They'll chew through it, and they'll try to get to it. With Raleigh, it's a different story, and she is just absolutely an adorable, beautiful, you know, this beautiful soul. And we spent the weekend, and she slept in my room, just like my other babies did. And I put her bed at the foot of my bed, right? Because she's got a nice little, like, cushiony bed. Mm-hmm. She literally got up in the middle of the night. I slept through it. Dragged the bed in between the wall and my bed. And put the bed to the point where when I got up and I went to put my feet down on the bed, I stepped on her. I was like, I cannot.
Poor girl.
No, but yeah, I know. This is a lot. And no, but she was great. She was great. And I loved her. Her demeanor is amazing. She is like one of the best dogs that you could ever babysit. Anyone. I'm just letting you know.
So Pat texted me, my roommate. He was like, when he came to pick her up, he was like, okay, just got home from Tom's. He was so cute with Raleigh. He seemed so sad when she jumped into my car.
I was. I literally walked into the car. I was like, let me walk her. Can I? He was like, no, I got it. And I was like, no, I insist. Let me walk her to the car. Because she's amazing. She really is. Like when we're watching TV, she will watch TV with you. My dogs don't watch TV. They don't care. They go to bed or whatever. She literally like stares at the television and follows the characters, and then she'll lay on your feet.
You want a funny story before we move on to whatever? So my roommate is dating somebody right now.
Uh-huh.
And they're getting kind of serious. Mm-hmm. And I like this guy.
Get it.
But Pat, I guess he was there and they were talking about something. Raleigh came up in some fashion. He was like, you know, you can always bring Raleigh here. Like if Nick's not home or if you just need, if you want to bring Raleigh, you can bring Raleigh. And Pat was like, it was like, he told me he loved me. Like, I'm not even kidding you. Like that is like more than saying I love you to him. Just
I don't
like,
think we should be talking about this on the air.
He was like, are you serious?
Oh, no. But you know what? You wouldn't even know she's there. Like, no. Seriously.
No.
She is such, her temperament is just, you know, you can ask for a perfect dog. Like, seriously.
But I mean, I have some issues with her sometimes.
but obviously, it took a lot of work to get there, right? Because no dog is perfect. No.
She ate my glasses one time. And I snapped. And that dog has been great ever since.
Yeah, no, she's great. She's great. I, for one, loved her. And I said to both Daddy and Fake Daddy, which is sitting here in the studio, that no matter where you go, if you need a place for her to come to, my doors are always open. I have an amazing backyard that she can run and do whatever she wants, and she can bring him. He can bring her anytime. actually, she can stay here before you or him or anyone else can. She's adorable. I love her.
Wow.
I love my fur babies. So anyway, let's move on to some stuff. We do have some stories that we do have to cover. So that concludes our weekends and all of the things that we've done. There's some stuff going on. But first and foremost, it is right now the 28th of September. We're literally 30 days out to election. So election day is November 3rd. There's a lot of things that are happening simultaneously. People are getting ready, getting geared up to go out into the polls. States are also being proactive and getting ready to start mailing out ballots.
They've already started.
Some states have. Other states are going to start. In Connecticut, I wanted to mention this because it is important to mention that some of the applications, Nick and I have a story about the applications and things like that, that went out. So Nick and I went and downloaded the application. We wanted to be proactive about it, mailed them in. And the very day that we mailed them in, we've got the application in the mail. Mm-hmm. And so it was an application for the state of Connecticut and all its residents to request an absentee ballot for the reason of COVID. Every single registered voter in the state of Connecticut can vote absentee if you fill out that application and return it for COVID. That being said, important things are happening. It is now almost the last week of September, actually.
It is the last
week. It is the last week. Yeah. 31 days before a general election, all absentee ballots will start being mailed to people in the state of Connecticut. Please check with your local state to find out when your absentee ballots are going out. It is important that you complete your ballot, carefully follow all the instructions that are included, and return it by mail as soon as possible. Don't leave it on the counter waiting 2 or 3 weeks and decide to mail it the week before the election. Do it right away. It is important. We already see what's been happening with the post office and the people that are being appointed into high places in the post office that could affect the fact that if your ballot doesn't arrive by election day, it will not be counted. So, that being said, if you are concerned with going into a polling place and concerned with the fact that you don't trust that the mail may get the ballot to where it needs to go in time, you have the option of dropping it off at a ballot box designated by your town. So you'll have to reach out to your town and find out where your ballot box is and drop off your ballot.
And for those who are really trying to adhere to social distancing and staying away from crowds, the town of Windsor Locks, where I'm registered to vote, and I'm sure many, many towns across many of the states in this country have outdoor boxes where you can actually drop your absentee ballot into.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, so you don't even have to go in. You don't have to get called into the clerk's office. You don't have to deal with any registrars or any other people. You can just show up, drop your ballot in the outdoor box, and then your vote's been cast.
And there are some actual other states, like New York, for example, where they have an election like an early voting period. Mm-hmm. So their voting started Saturday, October 24th. And I think that there are like 6 different times that you can go to where you would go normally to vote.
Right.
And vote. So it's like lessening the amount of people. You can go if you don't feel comfortable, you can always go back home. But a lot of states are doing that too, which I think is also something that's probably going to help the situation because everybody crams into your voting place at one time. In Connecticut, you can't do that.
Right.
So if I were to go and vote at the firehouse, which is right around the corner from my house, I would have to wait in line like I normally do for anywhere from a half hour to an hour or more. And you're crammed in with all these people.
It took me 2 hours to vote in the last general election. Yeah. And I can say this, I was officially hired by, I don't even think it's by the state of Connecticut. I think I was just officially hired to work the polls. I'm going to be a poll worker on November 3rd. And
oh, well, we know that, honey.
You've always been a poll worker. Oh, that's
funny.
You're Hold a on, poll worker. Are you going to be here for the election episode then?
I will be working 4 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. on election day.
So you're going to join us afterwards?
We're not going to know the results for like a week or so.
Oh, I know.
But
we're
anywho,
still going to do.
Well, yeah, we could discuss that. So I am working the polls. Nasty. I am working the polls, but I can say that Connecticut is taking it very, very seriously. Right. Everything is going to be set up with social distancing. Masks are going to be required. There's going to be strong security. It's going to be really dealt with really...
There are
going to
be so many Karens.
So many Karens. But I can say I haven't started the official training yet, but as I can say, when I was sitting down at the town hall with some of the top election officials, it really seems like the state of Connecticut is taking this very seriously. So I rest assured, feel safe to go out and vote. But if you do not feel safe, definitely make sure that you get your absentee ballots in as soon, like right. Tom said, as soon as possible, because the president said the only way he's going to lose is if there's foul play, and we are going to make sure that he loses fairly.
Oh, yeah. And don't worry, you can vote twice.
Of course.
It's encouraged, actually.
It's encouraged
and
by the president.
I implore all of Trump supporters to please, please vote twice so we can take that vote right away from you.
Every single one. So another thing to note is so I had to go in person to vote for the primary that we had in August, on August 11th, not too long ago. And one of the things that I noticed is there were very strict rules about social distancing. Keep in mind, people, that aside from Chris, when you go to these polls, a lot of the people that usually work the polls are elderly. Be mindful.
Which is why I made sure that I'm going to be there to work this election, because I didn't want... They're already missing so many people because, yes, you're absolutely right. Many people that do work on Election Day are elderly. So I also encourage any people, you could actually start at 16 years old. So if you're a mother or father who's listening, or maybe you are a high schooler who's listening, you can get out there and you can work. You can actually work the polls starting at 16 years old. So we don't need 80-year-olds who are perhaps at higher risk. If they want to do it, we implore you to go out there and do it.
Absolutely.
But that's the main reason why I wanted to make sure that I was going to be working the polls this election.
So that being said, knowing that the majority of the people that work polls are usually older, I want you to be considerate. I want you to have a heart and understand that when you're going into these polls, bring your sanitizer with you. Sanitize your hands.
Bring
wear gloves.
Bring your own pen, yes.
Make sure that you wear your mask. It is important, and minimize the risk for these people who are going out there and ensuring that you have a place to go to and exercise your civic right. And also keep them safe, right? Because they want to be there for you. Obviously, they know how important something like this is, how important an election like this election is. That would be a game changer for the way that America can move forward after the disastrous 4 years that we've had of this president. And so be considerate of them. Make sure that, be patient. Wait in line if you have to. If you didn't submit your absentee ballot, it is important. Stick it out, but be safe, follow all the rules, and we'll get through this.
And most importantly, just make sure you fucking vote.
Absolutely. And if you're worried about sitting in line, bring a book. We've had so many authors on this show. Like, you have so many suggestions for a book to read while you're waiting in line.
Oh, that's
speaking
for Chris.
Of that, right? This is for Chris. This is the latest book that we covered last week. It's called Basic Bitchin'. It is, of course, by Joey Scaldini. He wrote the book. There's a lot of very easy recipes in this book that you can actually make, but
it's hilarious.
It is hilariously titled. All the recipes have some scandalous names that are amazing. You got to get the book.
Joey,
but you can't take it. No,
Joey, I wish I could have been here for it. I love to cook, but I was peeing out of my asshole all night. So, but let's keep
things
nice.
But he walked into the studio and said, "Oh my God, he's cute."
Okay, hello.
Okay, sorry.
But I'm excited to look this over. But yes, make sure you bring a book. Get out there and vote.
And if he makes anything in that book and he hasn't invited us over to eat
chicken
it.
Chicken and motherfucking waffles are in this book.
We're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back to what were you going to say? Speaking of voting.
Go vote.
It is important. Mm-hmm. We're literally less than 5 weeks away from election. We're less than 5 weeks away from finding out whether or not we have to deal with the devil for another 4 years.
Which is kind of a perfect segue, but we should go to break, shouldn't
we? Yes.
You want to go to break? Yes. Well, how long have we been recording? Oh my
God.
Long
enough.
44 minutes. All right. Well, listen, ladies and gents, we are going to go to break. We'll leave you with some music. When we come back, we've got, of course, more Dish. Here we go.
She was waiting by the back door, said, "Babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming just the same. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife, but they're coming. Well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place, but they're coming just the same. A knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies, and they're talking so much hateful bullshit they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming. Well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in our past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land to sell or trade. Get on that train, head out to the wastelands where we can change our names. Cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming just the same.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was, of course, Wastelands by Amanda Barrick. She is just released the album on July 31st. It is available on all the major music sharing platforms, including iTunes and all of those good places. Make sure that you go check it out and listen to the album.
I'm winded.
She's fucking dying over there.
So we were running around trying to get things done.
Freaking shrimp episodes.
The what?
When you had to stab yourself with a fucking EpiPen to eat a coconut shrimp.
That's happened twice.
I know.
Two times.
Stop. And then, so typically if you have a food allergy.
You don't eat it.
You don't eat things that you're allergic to.
Facts.
And then you don't stab yourself with an EpiPen and think that everything's going to be okay when you're supposed to go to the hospital.
Well, you're supposed to go to the hospital after the EpiPen.
Right. And that never happened. But anyway, we're back from the break. Make sure that you go check out Amanda Barrick. She's amazing. Awesome. Love her. So before we move on to some of the other stories we have lined up, I think that our opener deserves a little bit of explaining.
Yes, please.
So, Trish, why don't you tell us a little bit about the opener and why we chose to do that opener today?
All right, yeah, no. So we didn't have one, so we chose that one because we thought it was great.
It was fantastic. Are you kidding me? It's all about rainbows.
Mm-hmm. And I love rainbows.
Hello. I feel like when she was saying all of that, I was listening to you.
No, it was funny because
Trish is a little more high-pitched.
Exactly.
I was like, you have to look between the two bars of the mic so I can see your eyes. There they are.
Yeah, there they are.
Black as all hell.
She's about to kill you.
Anyway. So
go for it.
A new Nevada school district basically said that teachers couldn't say that they were gay publicly be open about their sexuality to students because it was considered partisan and or political.
Right. And so let's remind our listeners, what state is this again?
Nevada.
Right. And so Nevada, Utah, all these states that sort of kind of like border California have always tended to be a bit more. Is tended a word?
Yeah.
Okay, thankfully. Oh, my God. But my Latino list kicks in, and sometimes I just, you know, I make shit up, so.
Yeah, it's the truly. So anyway, so this middle school teacher, Jennifer, I'm going to say her name wrong probably, Leja, I think it's Leja, she found the best way to respond, and that was our opener. It was her TikTok of, well, if I can't openly pronounce that I'm bi and I'm in a relationship with a woman, I'm going to put rainbows everywhere. And she did. She had rainbows on the floor for social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
She had...
she used duct tape to make sure that she had rainbows on the floor. Yep. Yeah,
it was amazing. She had, you know, different things throughout the classroom, the hallways, and she also had a lanyard that was rainbow. And she's like, if they ask me why, it's because I like rainbows.
I love rainbows.
So I thought it was really powerful and important to note because being gay isn't a political stance.
Right.
I read an article the other day where they're saying 40% of the LGBTQ plus community are Trump supporters. I'm like, I don't know if that's right, but it might be. But the reality is it's like that is a suppression of your right to be open and out.
Right.
It's not about political gain or partisan this. It's about the fact that I have my partner in life is a woman. My partner in life is a man, whatever. And my students, if they found out about it, fine, whatever. If you want to be open about it? Great. Do it.
By the way, the Supreme Court, not too long ago.
On June 15th.
Affirmed that you cannot discriminate against someone for having a partner and being gay, and so this is a new point.
Well, it added protection for sexual orientation under the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which was signed into law by President Lyndon B. Johnson. So it's saying that you cannot be fired or discriminated because of your sexual orientation. So this leads me to wonder, what are going to be the repercussions should someone such as this lady or this individual go against what the school system is saying? You know, what is the state going to do then? How are they going to, quote unquote, punish them? Because according to the highest law of the land, they can't be fired because of this.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, I think that in a sense, the school asking for her to not disclose her status in regards to being a lesbian woman who might be in a relationship with another woman is unlawful. It is unconstitutional.
Well, what the school said in an email was, the courts have held LGBTQ plus issues to be political speech, and thus the rainbow flag is considered to be political speech.
So that is another way of saying we don't agree with what you are, who you are, who you love, and so we're going to sugarcoat it and say that you can't talk about this or you can't say that you are who you are because we deem it as political speech. They've already tried this with the Black and African American community, right?
Well, I mean,
finding ways.
Think about when Trump was running for president and he grabbed that flag from that gay couple and wrote LGBT on it, right? Right.
Trump for LGBTs.
Yeah, something like that.
And like a black Sharpie.
That is literally,
which is very synonymous to his like whole presidential thing, right? Because think about all the storms and all the fake maps that he did with black Sharpies. Right. But anyway, go. But
that's politicizing the rainbow flag.
Right.
But then you also think about the memes that were created or the rainbow White House that we saw during the Obama administration. And that is also politicizing the rainbow flag.
It's showing support. It's not politicizing. It's showing support. It's the same thing as saying that women need to be paid the same exact amount that men and women can. That by being LGBT or showing the rainbow flag is politicizing it. Holding a Bible up then is politicizing it. So for those people who are on the exact opposite, if you hold that up as the president so beautifully done upside down, upside down,
then after that's he literally gaslit an entire fucking
then that's it's the same thing. You're politicizing an icon, if you will.
But the reality is, yes, is it showing support? Yes. But the reality is they are politicizing for political gain. They are using the rainbow flag for political gain. Both Obama did it and Trump did it.
Right. But the flag itself and the fact that you are proud of who you are and the right to exist in America and to have protections in place is not political. Mm-hmm. It is a right to exist. So the fact that the school faculty or the district literally looked at this woman and said, you cannot say that you are openly gay because that is political is bullshit.
It's bullshit because she also said it's legal in every state to get married.
That's right.
It's legal for LGBT people to exist in this country right now. Right now is the key word there.
Mm-hmm. Right now, even
I don't see how this is a political issue.
But the only thing, it's not. And then when you look at the opposite side, they're protected under laws, especially if this other lady gets put to the highest court of the land, that if they are against it, it's their freedom of speech.
Right. Waffle House Kim. We remember her.
We remember her. I'm talking about the lady who's due to begin her hearings for the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
And this is exactly what it is.
Read about her earlier.
This is the thing with Republicans. They love this hypocrisy. They only use the they only agree with the Constitution when it goes by their word.
When it serves their purpose.
When it serves their purpose. And that's the only way that the Republicans stand by that Constitution.
Right.
So this person who sent out this email saying this also said that other kinds of speech such as pro-life, pro-choice, NRA, etc. is not okay.
It doesn't matter.
You're right.
It doesn't matter.
I don't think that pro-life speech should be, or pro-choice speech, or NRA speech should be in the classroom. I don't. Maybe in sex ed.
But, well, I don't know why Second Amendment's going to be in sex ed.
I don't necessarily want your opinion, but me being a bisexual or me being gay is not my fucking opinion. Me being gay and having a partner in life is not my fucking opinion. It's my life. And on top of all of that, what if there are one gay person in that class or part of the LGBTQ community in that class? Those rainbows, everything that woman stands for, is supporting that one child who may be getting bullied, who may be not supported at home, who may finally find somebody that they can talk to.
The second that you pick and choose a landmark, which landmark cases can be discussed in the classroom, you grease up that slippery fucking slope. That's exactly what it is. And it's just going to shit on our Constitution nonstop.
The fact that she wanted to display rainbows all over her classroom, it is a calling to the fact that she has a right to exist in this country. That was already established on August 15th?
June 15th.
June 15th. Not only that, keep in mind that on June 26th of 2015, we gained the right to marriage in all 50 states. So the fact that a straight teacher can walk into a school and say, oh, my husband or this or that, and this is what, you know, we as a couple deem we can do together is okay. And the fact that she can't disclose to her students that she is a member of the LGBT community, she is a lesbian in a committed, or even if it was an uncommitted relationship.
Bi, actually. And I think that's important to know.
Whatever you are.
We have never seen, I don't think I can remember seeing anybody that identifies as bi going viral, and I think that is very important to highlight.
And so thank you for the correction. The fact that she is a bisexual woman and she happens to be in a relationship and she loves rainbows and she identifies the fact that the rainbow flag identifies, it is a core identifier of who she is, does not necessarily make it political.
Well, and my other thing when I was speaking earlier is that she's talking about being a 7th and 8th grade teacher,
right?
And that is that time.
It's a very impressionable time for youth.
No, impressionable is the wrong word. That is the time, because we don't want to say that like we're impressing you know, homosexuality on people. But reality is people are coming into their own at that age.
No, no, no. I understand. What I meant was it's a point in time in children's lives and where they're impressionable. And the things that they are taught stick with them for life.
Right. But I don't.
In that sense.
But I get what you're saying, but I don't want to highlight that because we're not trying to push an agenda on
no,
these
no, no, no. We're not pushing an agenda. We're pushing the law, the reality, what it is.
The reality is, like, 7th and 8th graders, they're going through puberty. Mm-hmm. They're coming into their own. They're figuring out, maybe I do like this. Maybe I don't like this. And if you have a role model that is comfortable enough to be bisexual with a partner that is a female and or male, doesn't matter, if you're comfortable enough to be honest about who you are in a classroom, that gives space for kids to embrace who they may or may not be.
Right.
Or feel safe to say, okay, well, can I ask you a question? I'm feeling, I want to talk to my parents about this because I'm feeling a certain way. 7th and 8th grade,
That's when it happened.
That's when it happened. I was just under, I was like 14, 15, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm different. I know something's going on, but I didn't have a role model to talk to right at that time.
Or no, nor did we have teachers that could, at that point in time, come out and say, I'm a bisexual person, mm-hmm, or I'm a gay person, or I'm a transgender man or woman, or I'm a member of the LGBT community, and I understand where you're coming from. And these are the things that you can expect, right?
So the only thing that's confusing to me about this article before we move on is at the end, the same person that is on the board of ed said, mm-hmm, I want to be abundantly clear. The policy does not require staff to hide their own sexuality. Teachers can let students know their sexuality or mention significant others if they wish, regardless of sexuality. The policy does not impact who a teacher is. It only impacts the advocacy for specific political position.
But it's no difference than the anti-gay propaganda laws that Vladimir Putin and his cronies put out,
right,
in still Soviet fucking Russia. Pretty right much. It's exactly what it is. And these people are going to be witch hunted, and they're going to be pushed out of their positions.
Right. And
they're going to find a way around the landmark cases, and they're going to do what they can to get rid of these individuals who are just living their lives.
I see it as this. You can be who you want to be. You can be who you want to, you can love who you want to love, but you can't just talk about it. And guess what? In America, that doesn't work. Because.
Does it not?
It doesn't. It doesn't work. And it doesn't work. The fact that you cannot vocalize who you are is really going against your right to exist. I need to tell you that what you're doing, even if it's not political, you may believe in religion and say you are an abomination. But I know I'm not an abomination.
Right.
You can't stop me from talking about who I am and what I am and what I believe in. You can believe whatever you want, but I'm still going to be gay afterwards. I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to be a gay man that could love another gay man. And the fact that this particular Board of Education person is telling this individual that you could be who you want to be, but you can't talk about it is suppression.
So I feel like I need to correct myself a little bit. So this individual usually flies a pride flag in her classroom.
Right.
So she had to remove the pride flag because it's political.
But it's not.
They're deeming it
political. They're deeming it political.
So she can mention the fact that she's whatever she is, bi, with a female partner, but she can't fly a rainbow flag. And that's why all the rainbows were instituted throughout the room. The reality is, if you politicize something that's like the rainbow flag, for example,
which is a secular symbol.
Uh-huh. And it also, it's a symbol that people look to for safety and support.
It's support, right.
You're taking something so important away from the gay community, really, from all these kids that probably found that flag
comforting.
Comforting. And I'm excited to, Like, if I was a seventh grader or eighth grader, when I was trying to figure out who I was, and I walked into a classroom and there was a rainbow flag,
and if you knew what it was,
I would have probably felt, and everybody knows what it is now with social media.
Right.
Back then, we didn't have Facebook. Back then, we didn't have TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff. Everybody knows what the fuck it is.
Which is, reinforces the importance of having an LGBTQ flag flying in the classroom. It's not political. It's a statement. It's saying you this is a safe space. Like, right.
But if you go to these places and you hang a guy hanging on a cross, you're brilliant. You're groundbreaking. You're a champion. You're a true American patriot.
Yeah. And we still say the Pledge of Allegiance, which...
to the flag.
Yeah. Like...
It's ridiculous. They're politicizing it.
Right.
Yeah. They are making this individual
is politicizing
icon.
It because she can't justify the fact that it is okay to do so, right? Mm-hmm. Because her beliefs doesn't justify the fact that it is okay to display a symbol that identifies you as a member of a community that's been
put down. It doesn't necessarily put down. Identify
right,
her.
Exactly. It could just be full-on support. If you happen to hang a crucifix and you're just all about bringing religion back into the government, then it's
basically
absolutely asinine.
What I would hear is, okay, so you say that I can talk about my partner, which I should not be doing with seventh or eighth graders. I can talk about my sexuality, which I should not be doing with seventh or eighth graders, but I can't fly a rainbow flag in support of a community that needs support continually.
Clearly, students are in my class that are part of that community.
Clearly, no this doubt. Person is politicizing it, not the teacher.
100%.
Of course.
Yeah. So, you know, my thing is this. It's like, listen, it is legal. It is legal to be gay in this country. It is legal to marry the love of your life, even if it's a man-man, woman-woman, a trans person marrying someone who's non-binary. It doesn't matter what it is. It is legal. The fact that this is – we're even discussing this on a show like this, or that a teacher –
after the Obama administration.
Like, right.
Does that surprise you? The guy who took office after him undid everything the Obama administration did.
This is the reason why we're having this conversation. And so, on November 3rd, goddammit, there's a reason why we need to get out to those fucking polls. Because it is people like this wonderful teacher and her students that are going to be impacted the most.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? We haven't done this in a while, and it's a good way to end the segment about this. Jennifer, you deserve claps, so we're going to give you some claps for your TikTok.
I love it. I love the fact that you put rainbows all over. I wasn't willing to put a rainbow tile over this bitch's halo, but, you know, maybe in honor of you, I might. Who knows? Who knows? That being said,
that was a much longer conversation than I thought it was.
But it's actually very, very polarizing. All right, so we're going to move all the way to the great state of California. California will house transgender, non-binary, and intersex prisoners according to their gender identity and where they feel most safe. Under the new bill signed into law on Saturday by Governor Gavin Newsom, along with other several pro-LGBTQ bills, the measure, sponsored by Senator Scott Wehner, requires officials with the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation to ask inmates confidentially during intake if they identify in one of those categories. The Associated Press reported that inmates then can request to be placed in either a men's or women's facility. The Department of Corrections can deny a request based on management and/or security concerns, but the law states, but not simply because of the prisoner's anatomy. And if the request is denied, the state must put in its reasoning in writing and give the inmate an opportunity to challenge the decision. This is huge, right? We've talked about, so it's interesting because when I read the story, immediately I went to thinking about Orange is the New Black, mm-hmm. right? And I thought about how things like this could be driven by the fact that Orange is the New Black, which was a groundbreaking show when it came out, talking about women and talking about transgender women and the role they play in this particular fictional world, and how that impacted someone like Laverne Cox, right? She played the role of Sophia, I think that was her character's name, in the series. But it shows how impactful and how amazing it is to be able to be recognized how you see yourself and be placed in a place that allows you to be safe from being attacked by your male counterparts who don't understand or don't approve or don't think that what you are is meaningful of humanity.
Well, it touches both on human rights,
right?
LGBT rights. And then, of course, it really focuses on reform, prison reform.
Right.
What it has to do with, I mean, vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris, you know, coming from California, a champion. She was a prosecutor from California. This is going to be huge because it really starts to get the word correction and prison out of the people's mind and really start to focus on rehabilitation and reform because they're no longer going to be ostracized because of the fact that they are looked at as different. If they're going to be put in a safe environment to where they can really start to move, well, perhaps they could be moving into a safer environment for them where they can really focus on reform and not just as a recurring, when you put in these situations where you're really not safe or taken care of and you're just treated as an animal.
How do you rehabilitate?
There is no such thing as rehabilitation. Right. It's throwing an animal in the corner. That's all it is. So if you're starting to understand.
I wouldn't say animal. I understand the analogy that you were going for, but animal is not the word that I would choose. It's basically throwing a human
into a corner. Well, so say you're treating them like animals and throwing them in the corner. When it's really meant to focus on rehabilitation, and if you're treating them as the human being that they are, there's a better understanding that they can, you know, work toward rehabilitation and a lesser lesser chance that they will become perhaps a non-reformed criminal. They can be a recurring criminal.
Right.
While I do believe in prison reform for rehabilitation, while I do believe in this article and the decision that was made in California, I think it's important to note that a lot of people and a lot of Americans realize that when we're putting people, some of which are not actually guilty, when we're putting people behind bars, they're behind there for a reason.
Right. Absolutely.
And so, yes, reform needs to happen. And they are protected under Eighth Amendment's prohibition of
cruel and unusual punishment. Yep. Of course,
but
it's our Bill of Rights.
But that's really kind of, they lose a lot of rights. They lose,
well, yes,
most of what we enjoy as human rights in America, right?
Right.
But they
constitutional.
Are, but they are protected again under the 14th Amendment, which applies to
due process.
No. Protecting them against unequal treatment on basis of race, sex, and that's where we are again with the sex and defining now, what that means.
Right, and that happened in July as a result of some of the things that were decided at the Supreme Court, right? And that was a very important ruling, which I think led the way for California to be able to do something like this.
Yeah, and I think that this is super important and great. I don't want to see it abused by people that could hurt other people.
Well, that's why they're going to have a very diligent process when it comes to deciding if someone qualifies to go into the women's prison if they are their anatomy is born as a man or vice versa. And there are going to be a lot of protests against this as
100%. And I think that there are certain people that I've personally come across, but that have affected my life personally, that are currently in jail that I don't want to see released.
Right.
And I personally think that they deserve to be in there.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. So the fact that someone deserves to be in there is valid, right?
And I don't believe that they deserve 100% of the rights of Americans. If you did something to literally hurt somebody or hurt a thing, like, well, there are some people, I think that there needs to be tiers. And I think with prisons, there are tiers of, like, where you go as a prisoner.
Well, it also depends on the crime that you commit, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but that's not what this particular article is about, right? Regardless of what the person has done, the important thing is that aside from what you do, in the end, you're still human.
Yeah,
regardless, you're right. You can think of somebody as a monster. You can think somebody, you know, you raped somebody, well, you're remember, a monster.
Not everyone that goes to prison is a rapist or a murderer or anything. You could have been someone, you know, who didn't pay taxes out of the 20 out of past 10 years or something like that.
Like our president.
Exactly.
But that's a perfect example, though, because, like, you have people
that... There are people who do petty crimes.
Petty crimes or blue-collar crimes.
Non-violent crimes.
That have money and go to these prisons where they can play fucking tennis all day.
Right. Or people who, you know, are addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
That have an actual illness. So not everyone that does go into prison, I'm not standing up for those who are murderers. I mean, if you're found guilty, you serve your time. But the other thing, continue before I make my
point. No, I think that this is an amazing ruling, and I think that people should be able to identify with their sexuality when going into a prison. If you're going into a prison, I just think it's really, it seems so difficult to manage.
And it's going to be. And that brings us back to a conversation we had in the past. Remember, we talked about this, I brought it back up recently, with the high courts of the European Union being struck down that they could not ask this question, but how they wanted to prove that people coming from nations like Egypt
were gay.
Yes, the gay test.
But
so
also
now,
like,
how are we going to prove that you're actually transgender and you're not a guy who just wants to... you know, move into the female's prison.
But on top of that, too, it's like, how are you going to feel comfortable saying, hey, I'm transgender,
right,
or I'm gay, or I'm a lesbian, or whatever it is that they're asking,
right,
you.
Right, so what's the criteria, and how, like, can someone be comfortable and not pressured to keep silent?
Beyond pressured, like, what if, like, that becomes public? You're in prison now. You're in prison waiting for your hearing, and you just told everybody that you're trans.
Came out, right.
Well, I mean, given...
What happens to that person? What kind of protection does that person get?
Well, given what we've been through in life, knowing that, you know, coming out is such a challenge, right? We want to get to a point where coming out is not a thing, but we know how challenging it is. October 11th is right around the corner. National Coming Out Day, right? We know how hard it is for people to come out to begin with. Can you imagine being locked up, maybe for a petty crime, and having to make that decision on the spot and saying, you know, I know that I see myself as a woman. Mm-hmm. I am going to be safer with women, one thinks. And I now have to make the decision and tell these people that I this is how I see myself. This is how I view myself. This is who I am.
And hope that information isn't
weaponized against you.
Yeah.
Right? But it's a very layered conversation. But in the end, the intent is that regardless of what you do as a human, you have inalienable rights. Oh my God, I can't believe I said
it was
that.
Very close, but you did get it.
As a human, you have those rights given to you by the Constitution, whether you're a convicted felon or not. You have those inalienable rights.
Inalienable.
Thank you. Inalienable. Did I say it? Yeah. You have those rights.
I'll allow it.
As a human to exist. And
yes,
to exist.
Some constitutional rights.
To exist as your true self, mm-hmm, as how you see yourself. What I see happening in California is that this particular law, regardless of what you do, as a human, you have a right to see yourself as who you are. Your deeds don't dictate who you are as a person.
But they do, because you can lose your Second Amendment right. You can lose your right to vote.
You can lose
some rights. Mm-hmm. Just to put it out there.
You can lose a lot of rights, but you will never lose the will to live. Mm-hmm. Right?
Pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness.
I wish that along with this ruling came protections for those individuals because it feels very unsafe to me.
Right.
Especially like, what if somebody outs themselves, doesn't get approved, appeal doesn't work, and they are identified as transgender. These security guards or the police are identifying them now, knowing on their file that they are transgender, mm-hmm. and they are now in a prison full of men as a man seeing themselves as a woman.
Right.
Like, it's dangerous.
Right. He can become a victim.
It really is.
Absolutely.
But we have to look at this
as a positive thing
for the trans community. There's always going to be variables, and the variables exist whether you're transgender or you're straight.
I know.
We're looking at
the statistics of people that are not in jail that die as trans mm-hmm. individuals,
right.
And we just had another woman pass away as a trans individual that was murdered. Like it makes me crazy that there are no additional protections around this ruling.
Well,
and also like where does that information go? Is this private information? Do I have the right to privacy with this information, or is this information going to be shared? Is it going to be in my file?
So one of the most important things that I read in this particular line, so I'll read it again. The measure sponsored by Senator Scott Wehner requires officials with the California Department of Correction and Rehabilitation to ask inmates confidentially during intake if they identify in one of those categories. So the important factor to mitigate a lot of the concerns that we have here as a panel is once they provide that information confidentially, does it stay confidentially, right?
Does it stay confidential? Yeah. And also, are there any repercussions for correction officers that then share that information if it's like HIPAA?
So that's part of the reform, right? We're talking about law enforcement. We're talking about things that are happening, you know, the murder of Breonna Taylor and all of these things that are happening, police reform and reforms within the correctional facilities and things like that. I've always said this before, and I always mention this on the show all the time. California leads the way.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Always in decisions and regulatory arena, they always lead the way. And I think that once something happens in California, eventually it'll trickle down to the rest of the state. It always has happened that way. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I understand the concerns. I see this as a win for the trans community.
Again, I agree with you. I see it as a win. I am voicing...
There's a lot of concerns.
A lot of thoughts.
Right.
And a lot of feelings around it.
I think in the sense that we need to grab the win and deal with the consequences as they come and reform. Right? Because...
I think we should grab the win, identify the potential consequences...
Agreed.
And email our senators.
Right. But that's right. So the consequences usually are an afterthought. And that's, unfortunately, that's always been the way that,
well,
you know,
our
law
works. People making these decisions aren't trans individuals.
Right.
There's nobody trans at the fucking table saying, hey, this is what I think. I think this is great. And this is a huge win. But this is what I'm concerned about.
Well, there are in certain states trans activists who mm-hmm. are being, you know, heard.
I'm
sure. Who are definitely more than woke. And being heard by their senators and by their representatives. And there are trans members of our community who are serving in their local communities in elected offices. We've mm-hmm. talked about many of them in the past. I wouldn't say quite many, but we have talked about people who have stood up. But it's also really important to point out that there's going to be a lot of opposition. California just a couple weeks ago did a different law where someone who was accused of statutory rape, I believe it was within the same 1 year. So if an individual was 18 who slept with a 17-year-old, if they were gay, they were registered as a sex offender. But under California law, if they were straight, they were not registered as a sex offender. So they changed that to say that it doesn't matter if you're gay or straight. If you were 18 who had sex with someone who was 17, you're not going to get registered as a sex offender for statutory rape. Now, of course, Ted Cruz and his dirty conservatives, you know, wave their flags like, oh, of course, now California is just looking out for the pedophiles all again. I'm like, no, it was just not consistent with common law. Mm-hmm. You were treating one party differently than the other. So it's more important to also, like we said, get out there on November 3rd. But don't forget that it's not just Donald Trump that we're trying to take out of the White House. We need to flip four of those seats in the Senate. Right. That's the most important thing right now. If we can control both houses of Congress, we can continue legislation like this that's coming out of California and so much more. We can finally make it the 37th Amendment or get the 37th state to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. We can finally get it on the Constitution to outlaw conversion therapy. Right. There's so much more that can get done if we get out there and vote on November 3rd and flip the House from Republican stranglehold.
I'm putting this bitch on CNN.
It's just sad that we have to talk like that. Because we have a two-party system. They don't work together. They fight against each other. They say Fox News is fake news or MSNBC is fake news because I'm on the other party. Like, we should... Oh, God. It's just fucked up. Like, our system is fucked. We should not have to fucking flip a house to get an equal fucking rights bill passed.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that's where we are.
And we've been fighting that for 30 years now.
I know. It just... I digress.
To California... Thank you. Thank you for always taking the lead. Thank you for always taking charge of America's, moral soul and leading the way in where we need to see a lot of these things happen. And so that's all we have to say about that. But we're not done with politics yet. Speaking of politics, Mr. Christopher, why don't you tell us what you've got pegged up for us?
Yeah, it's a quick one.
Pegged up?
Pegged. Well, I was going to say pins. I knew he was passing it my way. I was going to say pins, but, you know, that's Rachel Maddow stuff. So.
Exactly. I did say it earlier. But guess who's playing Mike Pence in the debates with Kamala Harris right now?
The fake person, right? The person
the October 7th.
I mean, I could tell you, but you want to say it.
I'm going to say it. It's Mayor Pete Buttigieg of South Bend. We love you, Pete.
So how ironic is that, that a perceived gay Mary everybody thinks that, you know, Mike Pence is, you know, this gay Mary.
Good point. The fact that he's gay playing Mike Pence.
So
didn't get it.
Perceived gay Mary with mom, right? He has to run everything by mama. Or whoever his mother is, his wife, is being played by none other than our first gay man and person that ran for president.
Known gay man.
Like, it's Pete Buttigieg. He was a contender for...
He was the first openly gay man to be on, at least on the stage, running for the Democratic... for any
party.
Major political parties. Yeah. Nomination for president of the United States,
right.
And former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who had to work, you know, hand in hand with the Republican bigot known as Mike Pence, who was governor of Indiana at that point. Mm-hmm. So,
not to mention, in the very first race, he gave Bernie Sanders a run for his money. I mean, there was a little.
It's contested. I mean, it came down to the point where
we're still there.
No, it is.
He won that first debate. I mean, he won that first contest.
I thought you were talking about Iowa.
Yeah, he won the first contest. Yeah.
Caucus.
It's still a contest. The caucus? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, won it.
Still in debate. We're not going to go there. I gave money to both of them because I want to win. That's all it is.
Tell us about this.
So anyway, from The Advocate, Daniel Reynolds was reporting on the 25th of September that Pete Buttigieg has a new gig and he's playing Mike Pence and he's really preparing Kamala Harris.
I feel like we should do it.
What?
Like what we used to do. Buddy, 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 buddy. Buddy, 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 buddy.
I think that's what you used to do. Yeah.
Buttigieg.
Buddy, 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 buddy,
buddy. No, we never did that.
No. We're talking about unicorn booty, but anyway.
Yeah, unicorn booty back.
But Buttigieg, Buttigieg, Buttigieg. I feel like it's like...
I can just like smell the AARP phone calls coming in the near future.
Oh my God. Sponsor us. Thank you.
No, but I just think it's exciting that, you know, he's standing up. He's not out of the race. I mean, Biden has already come out and said that. Out of the race. But Biden has already come out to say that Buttigieg is going to be a pillar in the transition team. We knew that.
Well, he's already been appointed.
That's what I mean. I said he's going to be a pillar. He's going to be an incredible, like, incredibly influential.
I think the Secret Service
is managing the transition. Yes,
so he's going to be a pillar in that sense. Okay, it's incredibly important that he's moving in. And I just loved that Harris was talking about, you know, how Buttigieg is a good debater and she's really willing to work with him. And I love that something that Buttigieg said out of this. I just want to read the two quotes. He said, quote, "My marriage to Chastain has made me a better man. And yes, Mr. Vice President, it has moved me closer to God. I can tell you that if me being gay was a choice, it was a choice that was made far, far above my pay grade," obviously, i.e. his creator. Yeah. And then again, he continues to say, and quote, "And that's the thing I wish the Mike Pences of the world could understand, that if you have a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator." So he's really going out there to call out those Bible thumpers who are pushing him down. Because this man served this country. Put his life on the line. Uh-huh. His husband, Chastain, is out there every day teaching the youth of South Bend. I'm not particularly sure if he teaches in South Bend, but he's out there as a teacher. He's putting, you know, his life on the line as well.
And can you imagine if somebody told him he couldn't display an LGBTQ flag?
Oh yeah, no, that wouldn't go well. That wouldn't go nowhere. Right? No. Chastain wouldn't
take
that. It'd
be like senior prank. The entire fucking school would be in a rainbow.
Exactly. And you're not going to deter
Pete from fighting
for us.
I volunteer as tribute to go and paint the entire school rainbow.
But you know what I actually think, besides all of that, what's really great about Pete prepping as Mike Pence for her is that Pete's relatively, like, he kind of straddles. I mean, he's a very smart man, very Democratic, obviously, ran as a Democrat. But fiscally, he's kind of Republican.
No, he's a moderate Democrat.
And I think that that's like perfect it is. To prep somebody.
And that's what they can use. They can really use that. One, that he's definitely going to touch on
LGBT
rights.
And he shows no emotion.
I mean, he's right to the point.
Yeah.
But also keep in mind, he is also someone that has experience working with this motherfucking
exactly.
asshole.
Mm-hmm. He's a businessman and a businessman who pays his fair share and does his work. I mean, this is the perfect...
Oh, interesting. Why would you bring that on?
I know, right? No, he's, I think, an exceptional person to act as the monster we have as vice president. Right. So Kamala Harris,
he knows
can
him.
Take him down.
He's worked with him. I mean, absolutely. Literally, like, he was a mayor in Indiana. This asshole was the freaking governor
at
Indiana,
the time,
right?
While he was serving as mayor of South Bend.
Yeah. So he's got experience working with him and dealing with him on a personal
Pence
level.
Pence is probably like, fuck. He's like, probably seriously. Worried because he knew and that he had to deal with him. And Pete Buttigieg is a strong man who won't stand down.
Right.
To people. Mm-hmm. Right. So Mike Pence's hatred, Mike Pence's un-Christianity and his unholiness never deterred Pete Buttigieg away from his faith or from his patriotism.
Don't tell me. Tell the camera.
Yeah, I know. This is how we talk, though.
I know. It's true. But that's what it is. I'm happy that, you know, he has been moved over into being a pivotal role in helping the Biden campaign and the Kamala Harris in preparing to deal with. We have a debate happening tomorrow.
Yes, we do.
The presidential debate. It'll be the first time. It's the first of three, but it'll be the first time in the history of Donald Trump being an elected official that he will have to debate someone with no live crowd in front of it.
Mm-hmm. He's going to fail with that.
Oh, we shall see, because he feeds off of that shit, right? He looks for that energy and that person that he can fixate on and say,
right, be like, you get it.
Right?
And so, statistically speaking, since the 1980s.
Did you just give me the finger?
No, it was more of a point.
Okay. Yeah.
Statistically, he was going
statistically
down.
Speaking,
he was doing the Bernie.
The incumbent. incumbent president
wins.
Does no, not even that. That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh.
May I finish?
No. Yeah, go.
So, statistically, the incumbent does not do well on their first debate.
Right.
Because they're so used to people not standing up and speaking out against them. Right. They're used to these followers and yes men. And we know Trump likes his yes men. He gets rid of any of those people who speak out against him. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be called out on everything. He wants Joe Biden to be drug tested before this. He said that yesterday.
Y'all ready for round two?
He wants Biden. Exactly.
You remember? Why? You remember round one? You remember?
Oh, yeah. When we all thought he was on cocaine?
Exactly. He's going to be the same thing, creeping up behind him, just like he did to fucking Hillary Clinton.
He's going
to
try.
It ain't going to go well. It ain't going to go well for Trump tomorrow. It ain't going to go well.
No, it's...
That was creepy as fuck.
I don't think... I get what your point.
The thing is, I feel like, with the debates, it's like, I'm catering to my people, and, I don't really feel like there's a huge swing vote. Like, I feel like people are Trumpers, our people are Democrats.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily, because you kind of have that there. But the thing is, Trump and his team are doing a terrible job. Like, he's a new politician. The people he has on his team have been doing this.
He's not a politician.
Well, he is now. Technically, he is now. Regardless, seriously, we don't need to name it. But the people on his team have been doing this shit forever. They should know better. Trump, all he's doing is just solidifying his base. He's not bringing anyone over. Biden has the bigger job. Biden has the bigger job. Right. Biden has to bring these people over for these swing states, and Trump does not have them secured. Mm-hmm. So by him calling Biden out with the sleepy Joe, you're on drugs, you're not fit to run this, the only person that has to prove himself is Trump at this point. Biden is able
to... He did it for 8 fucking years and beyond.
Exactly.
He's given himself to this country.
And he can win these people in these swing states over. Trump has given up the fight. All he wants to do is secure the Nazis who salute him every night before they go to bed.
You're not wrong. And that being said, before we close out the show, because we need to close this out.
But do we really? The conversation is so juicy and good.
We do. But before we do, because we're going to be talking about the election from today until the election.
Until the end of days.
I have been seeing so many articles from liberals saying why I'm not voting for Biden and why I'm voting for Bernie, why I'm voting for Buttigieg. And yes, you can write somebody in. I am so done with seeing these fucking articles. We have more at stake right now than your petty bullshit. Like, if you are a liberal and a Democrat, vote for Biden because he's already been there. He's already done the job. He's been here for this country for so long. Kamala Harris has been here for this country in a positive way for so fucking long. Stop saying and trying to, like, you know, make it seem okay that you want to write somebody in, when in reality, we just need to get somebody the fuck out of the White House. Right. We need to save our fucking country. And there is no reason to write somebody in and throw away your vote, because that's what you're doing. You're throwing away your vote. This is not the primaries. If you wrote somebody in for the primaries, by all means, my roommate did it. Why not? But this is not the primaries. We know who the nominee is, and you need to fucking vote correctly and stop putting out the bullshit of, like, hey, well, I think that, you know, Bernie would have been better. Maybe he would have been better. But guess what?
He's not the nominee.
He's not the nominee. So vote for your fucking party.
We can urge, well, I mean,
we can urge.
It doesn't say that we don't stand here and say that everyone who listens to the show or is a part of the show are Democrats.
Correct.
We can urge you to vote for not the lesser of two evils, because that's not where we are.
No.
We can urge you to vote for someone who truly cares about you, doesn't care about their wallet above your life. We can urge you to vote for someone who understands duty, who understands honor, who understands country, who has given so much of their life to our nation. We can urge you to vote for the right person, and that right person is Joe Biden alongside with Kamala Harris. They can change this nation.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we can also urge you to vote for someone who has not paid for more sex to receive in-kind services from, like, Stormy Daniels and all these other people.
He paid in sex?
No.
He paid more for sex than he has in income tax.
Since 2017?
Since 2000 and, like, no, literally,
started
like 2010.
Yeah, 2010.
Like, seriously. Like,
but that's not the fucking reason.
That's not the point. There are plenty of valid reasons
A great point. But that's...
There are plenty of valid reasons why you don't have to be a Democrat. I stand here... All right, sit here. Proud to be an independent, an anti-Republican independent, and urge you to vote for Joe Biden.
100%. I mean, and we don't have to, I feel like, hopefully, we don't have to sway our listeners to vote for Joe Biden. But I think that our listeners, I'm actually asking our listeners to take upon themselves the responsibility to say, if you have a conversation with somebody and they want to write somebody in, tell them why it's not the right thing to do. Tell them why Joe Biden, whether you believe in him or not, is going to help us get back to where we were.
But listen to them also. Don't just tell them.
Have a conversation.
We can urge, but don't tell. Have a conversation. Yeah. Understand why they're weary.
Yeah.
Understand why they have concerns.
And educate yourself for that conversation that you're going to have, because I'm sure all of us have people in our lives like that. So that when you go into that conversation, not only are you hearing them, but you can respond to them on an educated basis. And they're not going to be like, oh, that's fake news. Oh,
whatever. Right. And you can go to joebiden.com to see all the things that he stands for and to understand that this man truly cares about all Americans, not just those who vote for him.
It's not fake. And you know it's not fake. I mean, you got to understand, this man has been in public service longer than most of us have been born. This man was sworn into office the day that his wife and his daughter passed away. He was literally in the hospital dealing with that when he was sworn into office to be elected as the person representing the state of Delaware. Mm-hmm. It's real. Mm-hmm. He is the real deal. Do we all make mistakes in our past? We all have.
Absolutely.
Did he vote for certain legislation that may or may have not been what is ideal today? Yeah, mm-hmm. He might have.
But this man,
or what's not ideal today, but this, is what I meant to say.
Right, but this man has dignity. And he stands up and he says when he makes mistakes.
Right.
And not just does he call out his own mistakes, but he works on them.
Right.
He fixes them. He owns up to what he was wrong about.
Joe Biden is for the American people. Donald Trump is for not. Himself. Absolutely. I don't even want to say he's for the 1% because he's not. He's for himself.
Seriously. Like he doesn't care even about his base. Obviously, he does it for show, but really all he cares about is how many millions he's making in his bank account and he's working on how he's going to dodge paying taxes on those millions for the next, you know, God knows how many fucking years.
Yeah. Not many.
That he's still longer. Alive.
I mean, he's fucking living off fucking filet of fish and Big Macs.
Like, seriously.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I shouldn't have brought that up, but I did because I think it's important. I'm sick and tired of seeing those articles. So just, I implore all of our listeners to, you know, educate themselves and be ready to have conversations that need to be had in the next couple of weeks, because we are coming up on a very, very, very important election.
Seriously. It's very important. All right. So before we move on to Mama Kim's Minute, very quickly, I would like to say rip to Boys Town over in Chicago. My people, I've been to Chicago. I've had fun. I've always enjoyed being in Boys Town, but it is rip to them. Boys Town, according to this article, which was published on theadvocate.com, is no longer going to be called Boys Town. It is going to be called North Alsted. So that is the new name that has been deemed a little bit more appropriate to sort of kind of
be inclusive,
be dignified, and be inclusive of the LGBT community, which tends to support businesses in that area. And so peace out to Boys Town and welcome North Alston. So that being said, let's move over to Mama Kim's Minute. So I'm going to toss it over to Trish. Dear Chris, can we get a timer for this bitch?
I don't need one.
You don't need
one. All right, everybody. Here's Mama Kim's Minute. So number one, GOP senator introduces bill that could require genital exams for girls competing in school sports.
Unconstitutional.
Two, watch Equal trailer. Revisit time that homosexuality was illegal. Number three, Sarah McBride is set to be the first transgender state senator in the U.S. after primary win.
Yes.
Number four, Joe Biden recommits to ending HIV, passing Equality Act, LGBT and LGBTQ plus rights.
We talked about the Equality Act.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And that is Mama Kim's Minute, everybody. So we are moving on.
Thank you, Mama Kim.
Everybody, this week's Gay Talk Term, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com.
It's Funch.
Funch?
Funch.
What's funch?
Brief sex act accomplished at noontime. A midday quickie. Where do you always go? Where do you always disappear to during lunch? Are you meeting somebody for funch?
Oh, I get it. So instead of brunch,
afternoon delight,
it's funch. It's like fun brunch. Mm-hmm. It's like eating all the right kind of meats.
Yeah,
I love it. Funch.
Funch.
All right. So Christopher, on to Stay in Gay History.
Aw. It's not the happiest one, but it's a good one. It's still a good one. It's still a good one.
And because it's still brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com.
I was going to get there. Damn it. But on this day in gay history, when September 28th, 2004, in the African nation of Sierra Leone LGBT activist Fannie Ann Eddy, unfortunately, was assassinated in Freetown. But she was responsible for establishing the Sierra Leone Lesbian and Gay Association in 2002. So she had not died in vain.
And I believe that in honor of this amazing feat, she gets claps. Mm-hmm. May she rest in peace.
And Chris has homework. What is the gay the Lesbian and Gay Association? So we won't know next week.
I got to plug in. All right. Oh, wait. Do I get it? Can I do this?
Oh, my God.
I got it.
Come on.
All right. So
fucking interns.
Jesus Christ. Did I just say that? I did. Anyway, where is my notes? Here we go.
Dead air.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So thank you so much for tuning in on today's episode. If you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. Doing so allows you to get the latest and greatest of these crazy bitches right here on this channel.
And Tom trying to plug in his computer.
That's right. Delivered right to your web browser or your favorite device as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation, which we collect monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Christopher.
Next week. Hey, that guy's coming back.
That's right.
Got Tales from the Tale from the fabulous and lovely and inspirational and well-educated Dr. G.
Yas queen.
Hello. All right, and thank you. Oh, wait, we didn't have a guest today, so thank you, guys. It was a great dish. It was a long show, but it's all good. But don't forget, you can get...
She left you hanging.
Don't forget, you can get your discount for the future method today. Cursive. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury or STDs. The first of its kind doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20... for 20% off, valid for one purchase or one subscription per person.
She's been using it for a year. You would think she would like get it by now.
I tried to have that recorded, but you like to make fun
of me. No, I do, which is why I leave it the way it is.
All right, Chris. Anyway,
can we please, because I don't want to make another one of you or another one of you, can we please put a rubber on this?
Yeah.
And you know, sure. Fuck it, I don't want another one of me either. So we're going to put another rubber
God,
on this.
God, never.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, as always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, GayTalk 2.0, Instagram, GayTalk 2.0, Twitter at GayTalk 20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, here we go.
All right. Well,
good luck.
Our show is available on our website. No, that's Chris's line. Sorry. If you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on Contact Us, which is located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments. You can suggest topics. You can leave a question for the cast or for Chris or an individual host. You can also call us and leave us a voice message, which we can answer for you on the show. Nobody ever does that. But the phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Fuck you, Chris.
And if you call next week's special edition, we'll give you Tom's BAC level.
I fucking hate her. I hate her. Wait, what's BAC?
Don't blood alcohol forget. Content.
I fucking hate her. Anyway, don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, today we were late. That's why. And you can access that live stream on digitalstreamradio.com.
Okay, we'll edit the whole end and put in last week's.
No. It's going to happen. This is it. So I would like to thank you all for joining us. This is, that's it. That's pretty much it. Thank you for joining us. And y'all have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.